Earlier this year, Facebook admitted it had a problem. The company is overwhelmingly male. 85% of the people who work on their core technology are men. And Facebook is not alone. 90% of Twitter's technical jobs are filled by men, and 80% of Apple's. Take a loop around Silicon Valley, and you're going to find a clear trend. So what's going on, and is there any way to change the situation? Yuri Kim is a principal at Forerunner Ventures, and Sherry Atwood is the founder and CEO of Support Pay. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
So, Sherry, let me start with you. There's obviously been a lot of media coverage of this issue. What is your day-to-day experience like as a woman in the tech world?
Well, I can say yes, there's been a lot of media coverage. Unfortunately, it is sort of true. There is definitely, you know, events that I go to, it is mostly men and is mostly actually young men, probably under the age of 25. So I do see it on a regular basis, but it also shows me the huge opportunity that's out there for women to build companies that with problems that are not being addressed today.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm on the investing side. I'm an early stage investor. And so, you know, we focus on the consumer space. And as a result, we benefit from seeing a much higher percentage of female founders coming through with, you know, big ideas and a lot of experience. I think when you look at the sort of startup world broadly, if there is a more technical arena, you will obviously find that there's less females kind of going in that direction, mainly because they don't necessarily want to. I don't think there's a lot of women who are in the majors in college or even in high school studying engineering and doing hardcore technology. So you can kind of project that forward and see that they probably won't be getting those jobs and getting the experience they need to start companies in that space. But I think that, you know, now as technology and retail and consumer are really converging, it's a great opportunity for female founders to get out there and get the real, you know, experience that they need to continue building the female network with founders and then future investors and then, you know, going back again and being entrepreneurs again.
So let me get back to the business world in a second, but you mentioned this idea of the pipeline, Yuri. In your view, what is going on? Why are there not women in the pipeline? Because, you know, we can certainly talk about what Facebook should be doing and, you know, what Twitter should be doing. But it is also true that there are not that many women majoring in, for instance, computer science. So there's not as many people to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating because you would love to believe that, you know, we could get the girls early enough, whether that means you got to go to high school and get them involved in science classes and math classes, or if it goes back even further to like third grade and fourth grade. But I personally speaking, feel like that's what we end up having to do. And there's a lot of efforts now. There's, you know, where I first met Sherry, actually, on the Women 2.0 conference where she pitched her company. That's a conference that they focus on female founders, people who are interested in startups on the later side. So you're probably already in the workforce or maybe you're in college kind of wanting to do a startup. And that's fantastic. But fundamentally, to get women in the pipeline early enough to actually be getting the Facebook engineering jobs, like that just starts way earlier. There's, I think, a lot of side educational companies that are popping up where you can learn how to code, which I think are fantastic. And the more that, you know, parents can encourage their daughters to get involved in that, to think that that's fun, would be the starting point of it all.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think the fundamental problem is being a coder or a developer or doing engineering or technology is just simply not seen as cool today. Especially for girls. I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I can certainly say that, you know, she sees me, she's excited because when in her computer science class, she gets to say that her mom codes and develops when mostly it's the little boys and the dads that are talked about. A few months ago, they came out with the Barbie, the entrepreneur Barbie, and there was a lot of media coverage, negative media coverage about this entrepreneur Barbie, and I maybe had a unique perspective, but I thought it was fantastic. Yes, oh, fine, there's other issues with Barbie, but it showed that Barbie can not only be cool and fashionable, but she can be an entrepreneur and a business owner, and she can be a coder, and it's not something that just the nerds, quote unquote, do. Everyone can do it, and the vision and the view of what a coder, developer, and technologist looks like, I think that is another fundamental area we need to change.
Well, it's interesting, even in Silicon Valley, that the next generation is being shaped by, like you said, well, my dad's a coder. Not that many people say my mom is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think it's similar to every other area in our society, is that we need to put more views or more of those types of people in the front, so that people see that, you know, women or girls can see that women like them are having these careers and being successful in them.
It's also worth noting that you don't necessarily have to be a programmer to be an entrepreneur or to be in this world. I mean, a lot of the companies that we've invested in, you know, some of them include Bonobos or Warby Parker, or Birchbox. These are consumer-facing businesses that really need amazing marketers and people who understand the consumer. And, you know, as 80 or 90% of these consumers are women, there you go. There's an awesome opportunity for these girls to get out there, learn how to do online marketing or digital marketing, be able to leverage the creative and the analytical kind of horsepower that they have, and then to play a different role in that company. So you don't necessarily just have to focus on, you know, can I program? Because, I mean, to be honest, I can't program, but I'm still investing in this space.
Okay, but Yuri, give me a sense of your world then, both the people who are saying, can I have the investment dollars, and the people who are saying yes or no, you know, what percentage on both sides would you say are women?
I think we are in a unique position where I would still say the majority are probably men that come through my door, but it's not a vast majority. I think it's still fairly even. I won't say 50-50, but let's call it 60-40.
And then, but is that because they seek you out because you are the rare woman who's handing out money, you know, in a sort of venture capital position?
I don't think so. I think it's more because we're focused on consumer investing. And when you think about that particular sector, women do have more experience and perspective and sort of vision as to what the consumer experience should be like. And so then we end up kind of finding each other in the middle. But, you know, it does obviously help that we are female. And so, you know, when you're pitching a shopping platform or a new apparel company, you know, are you going to go pitch it to a 55-year-old man who doesn't buy that stuff? Or are you going to come to a team that has sort of all the age groups covered and, you know, a distinct viewpoint on what that sort of next generation experience should look like? So I think we've carved out a niche for ourselves that makes sense, and that being a woman actually is a benefit to being a better investor and a better partner to a founder, whether that founder is a man or a woman. But, you know, we've all read the articles that say, I think it's something like less than 5% of VCs are women. And that's probably still true. Luckily, I have a lot of colleagues who are kind of working up in the ranks, and they're definitely out there. I think firms are trying to hire more women because they realize that, you know, that creates a more diverse viewpoint and investment kind of hypothesis out there. And so the effort is there. And, you know, I think that it continues to be, let's get great entrepreneurs like Sherry funded and to be successful. And then one day she can come back and be an investor and continue the virtuous cycle.
Sherry, what's your experience of sort of, you know, a woman trying to get funding versus, you know, men trying to get funding?
It's hard. I mean, I'll say whether it's a man or a woman, I mean, funding is hard. And unfortunately, the media makes it seem so easy. For me, though, I think that it's interesting. I come from corporate America. I was a vice president at Symantec. And in that world, being a woman was difficult. Being a single parent was hard. But in that world, I was too young. And then I jump over to this startup world, and it's almost the opposite. I'm too old to do this. I think there's the combination of that, of being a woman. Yuri's point is great as far as women not having to be coders, but I also found that as a major detriment. I'm not a coder. I don't have a technical degree. I came from a marketing background, but I learned how to code because I was told constantly, you know, you need that 21-year-old coder in a hoodie sitting next to you. So I wasn't going to get that 21-year-old kid working for peanuts to solve the problem that my company solves. So I had to learn it myself. And even then, I am constantly being asked to prove that I am actually the developer or the coder, which is great.
What was that leap like coming from a big tech company, Symantec, over to, okay, this sort of wild west of a lot of people starting up businesses?
Yeah, it's definitely a culture shift. I think corporate America, at least today, is starting to address this seriously by having rules and regulations, rewards for, you know, building out more women in the leadership areas. When it comes to startups, it's especially all the, you know, negative things you hear about going on. There's not a lot of rules that have to be followed. And even if the rules aren't followed, people are being rewarded for those. So I guess the benefit for me was clearly seeing it wasn't, you know, there aren't rules. So being an outlier can actually be a benefit. But the biggest thing was continuously pounding the streets and believing when no one else did, because there were many times where I was running out of money and energy to do this because I just couldn't get the investors that I wanted. Now, eventually, I got the most amazing set of investors that I couldn't have gotten, I don't believe, any better. So thank goodness I didn't get those previous investors that did have issues with my age or my gender. But it's definitely a long, hard road. And if anybody's in this for the money, this is not a place. You know, don't do a startup if you want to do it for the money.
Absolutely.
Yuri Kim, I talked to Esther Dyson not that long ago, a kind of legendary investor in Silicon Valley companies. And she told me that she's actually been really disappointed that Silicon Valley hasn't gotten better faster on the issue of including more women and making sure they're more a part of the tech community. To you, does change seem slow?
That's a really good question. The fact that we've been hearing so much in the press lately about how there aren't women in our space, both on the founder side, on the investor side, makes me believe that, yes, it's extremely slow. I can't believe we're still having this conversation. But people are really looking to find solutions. The problem is that the solutions, you can't just have a Band-Aid on it and do a couple of, you know, women-focused events and call the problem fixed. Venture, as Sherry points out, it's a really tough nut to crack because there are a bunch of investors that have been in business together for decades. And when you think about a little bit of the old boys network, like if you're not friends with the people that are investing in Facebook, then most likely the next Facebook that comes out, like that opportunity isn't going to be available for every single investor out there. You kind of have to be a part of that club. And since 30 years ago, there were only men in that club. Now, I mean, even if there are a couple of women popping in there, it's just going to take a little bit more time. And so, you know, I would say that progress is slow, but in order to make a real sustainable change, we have to create the infrastructure that, you know, provides the right pipeline so that, you know, for decades, this problem is getting solved and not just today on paper or kind of in the news, it seems to be solved.
And do you feel like, you know, when you support a business, that the businesses that are run by men tend to be looked at by the media as like, oh, here's an interesting business. But the businesses that are run by women tend to be looked at as, oh, here's an interesting woman-run business. I mean, do you think women get a little bit, because they're more rare, the fact that they're female gets highlighted in a different way?
It does. Even with my partner Kirsten and I, you know, we often get heralded as a female-only venture capital firm. We had no agenda in coming out and only hiring women. We just happen to all be women. And so it's easy to kind of tag it as female-run or female-focused or any of that. We're not going to have that as a lead and make that our charter. We invest in consumer businesses, and that's kind of the end of it. And we'll absolutely hire a man if that's the role that we want to hire for and the man is the best candidate. But it does, I think it's a blessing and a curse to be able to get that extra press because you're a woman. Because at the end of the day, you want to just be known for having a great idea, being a great founder, and having a great business. But if it's going to get you a little bit more attention to, you know, be a female out there charting the path, then, you know, you kind of take it for what it's worth and do the best that you can. Because I think that at the end of the day, there are so few of us out there that we still have to embrace the responsibility of giving back and giving other women an opportunity to learn from what we're doing and try to improve upon what we're doing together. So I do take that responsibility on, even though sometimes I feel like, gosh, you know, can't they just say we're great investors? They have to say great female investors.
Right. The two or three men together doing a venture capital firm would probably not be the male venture capital, right?
Exactly.
Sherry Atwood, CEO of Support Pay. You know, when you think about big tech companies, and you obviously came from one, and you look at these numbers where Twitter has 10% of the women who are doing their technology, 10% of the people who are doing their technology are women. Or, you know, Google's in much the same situation. Facebook's in much the same situation. Do you think these tech companies, which get bad press for that, are they really trying to take this on, or are they just concerned about the bad press?
I think the fundamental issue is that we talk about the problem of the lack of women in these roles. And I don't think that anybody looks at themselves and says, we're not that, we're the company that's ignoring women, or it's not us. I think that once they started looking at the numbers, it was probably eye-opening for them. But at the end of the day, you know, they're concerned with building a company and a business. And unfortunately, or fortunately, this is a networking, at the end of the day, who you know. I think it's great that it's highlighted so they at least get to see their numbers, because I honestly don't think they even believed that they were in that group. It's the same thing that I have faced many investors, and you know, when they ask questions or requirements of me that I know have not been placed on other, you know, investors or companies that they've invested in, I ask them point blank, how many women CEOs have you invested in? And it's not until they have to sit back and think about it and go, oh, well, maybe I am part of this and it's not somebody else. So I think the highlight of, you know, these companies to show them that the numbers are so skewed in one direction. And then also highlighting the fact that it is clear that when you do have a diverse group of people sitting in your management ranks, you're just better for it. It's not all thinking the same thing. It's getting different viewpoints. I think now that they are getting a little bit of a negative press, they're making an effort, you know, with Twitter and bringing on a woman onto their board as an example. Probably not the press they wanted, but at least it caused them to take some action immediately.
And I wonder if inside these companies too, even when women are, you know, rise up through the ranks or do get jobs, they expect them more to do certain kinds of jobs, HR, communications. I would expect we have higher percentages of women than like the coders.
Absolutely. And I will say that I came from the marketing. I actually came from the product side, product marketing. And when I was there, I was one of very few women. And then I moved over to more of a general marketing role. And it was a complete shift of the male to female ratio. I just think, you know, not to say anything bad about men, women are just natural great communicators, but it is being able to spread them into not only the communication, marketing, outbound side, but also the engineering and the technical and the product side is critical to getting more women in these roles.
Now, does it, let me just push back on that a little bit. Does it matter if women, you know, are the vice, fill the jobs of vice president of HR and marketing and do communications? Maybe it's okay to have women in those roles and not so much in the technical roles if women are good and can make a lot of money.
Absolutely. I mean, if they are good and they can make a lot of money, I do, though, think it matters. We need more women in the both the technical and the sales side, whether it's big corporations or startups, just for the fact that it is seen as a level playing field. I mean, I remember in my days of marketing in corporate America, it was like the marketing, oh, that was the, you know, what does marketing do? It's the product, the engineers, and the salespeople that matter. You know, so having them in these development roles or these sales roles representing customers is critical to getting an awesome product and getting a different view on what products should be out there in the market rather than just having one type of person developing, you know, the features and the functionality.
Yuri Kim, I was actually going to ask you about that. You know, you're at 4Runner Ventures. Do you see a limiting of the products and services that are on the market because there's so much of one kind of person? Jerry Atwood talked about mostly men under 25 pitching the venture capitalists and trying to get the money. Are we missing out on products and services that would, you know, be different from what we've got?
I'm sure we are. But I do think it's getting better. I do see a lot of women kind of rolling up their sleeves and just getting out there, even though it's so hard and it requires such a strong stomach. Like Sherry said, if you're trying to do this because it sounds like a quick way to make some money, there's a lot of other ways to make this money. So pick something else because this is a long road and it's tough and it requires a lot of thick skin. But as she was saying, you know, the problem with not having females in the technology ranks is that you can have an amazing idea, but you're somewhat crippled if you can't build it. And so if you can't attract an engineer, and if that engineer happens to be a 25-year-old, you know, man, then you are just at a disadvantage. You can't work as fast. You have to raise more capital to create a beta product that you can kind of test out, or a prototype of some kind, versus if, you know, you're like Sherry and you can just learn how to code and crank something together, at least you can start and you have a chance. There are tons of ideas out there. I think that there's a benefit to coming at it from, hey, we as women have a lot of that spending power, and we have needs that a lot of times men are not going to be able to cater towards. So think big. Don't just think of like your individual niche idea, but think about, you know, what's a need out there that's broadly sort of sweeping, and how can we get that to, you know, solve that problem, and how can we solve it with technology so that it's scalable? Sometimes I do find, I remember really fondly a woman that I spoke with a year or two ago. And she had a great idea for a platform that was going to bring together, you know, big retailers and brands, and then, you know, graphic designers, and have sort of a seamless technology-driven way to have freelance designers help brands with new designs and new logos. And I thought it was a great idea, but it was interesting that the way that that person pitched the idea felt small. And, you know, we can't invest in small ideas. We need a big idea. We need a big win. And, you know, you could change the words around. And I actually posed it to her and I said, what if you were a guy? What if you came in and you weren't worried about being conservative, or you weren't, you know, feeling like you didn't want to take on too much? Like, what if you just painted the picture of like the huge billion-dollar business? And we played it out and it sounded way better. And I was like, that's a company that people are going to invest in. You have to paint the picture of the biggest idea you can, because I think that women naturally don't want to, you know, sort of under-deliver. We want to under-promise and over-deliver. But as a result, it's hard to get the big vision out there and to get people rallied behind your cause. And so the great ideas, they're out there. Women are tackling them. You know, just don't be afraid to fail. I mean, get out there and just do as much as you can, because there's a moment, and if you can get the investors to believe in your sort of, you know, just your wave, then you'll get that chance. But if you are holding yourself back and saying, well, you know, this is the plan I know I can execute to, so I'm only going to pitch that, then that's probably not going to be as exciting as some of the other guys that come out there and just kind of are silly about the picture that they paint 5 years from now.
Well, see, that's really interesting, because I was in an event one time with a woman who was a CEO of a fairly small company. And she said when she was initially going out and saying, you know, hey, I really need money, and she would do the presentation, somebody once pulled her aside and said, you know, you need to triple those figures, like the projections of how much you're going to make. And she was like, yeah, well, I'm trying to really realistically present what I think I can do in 3 years and 5 years and so on. And they said, well, that's not what a man would do. So you need to triple them. And she did. And she was successful.
But and I think the point being is, you look at my company, Support Pay, I believe what I'm doing isn't rocket science, but it is a huge opportunity. It's 300 million parents exchanging almost $1 trillion every year in shared expenses and child support. And there was no solution to help them manage this, no way to help them pay or communicate online with each other. And the feedback I get constantly is, I can't believe that there's not something out there now. And I walk into a lot of the pitch meetings, and that's the first thing they say. And then they go and they do their Google search and saw that there was nothing out there. And then it's like, wow, there really isn't. But there are things bigger than just some little niche market that needs to be addressed, that needs to be solved, that, you know, you need a unique perspective. Now, my company obviously clearly targets both men and women, mothers and fathers. But there are a lot of these things out there that women are afraid to take the risk to go after. Mm-hmm. Great point on the numbers. I was actually told my numbers were too high. So maybe that's
good,
the
Sherry.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's the key to
you're hungry, you know, you're out there.
Yeah, go out there. But I think there's just so much opportunity for new solutions to some of these problems that, you know, women provide this unique perspective that they can go out and solve.
But I also wonder if women are more successful in pitching businesses that are family-oriented, makeup-oriented, shopping-oriented, people or businesses that seem like they focus on women, whereas we kind of touched on this before, like men can just pitch a business that's focused on people.
Well, it's interesting. That's a positive and a negative. And I will say one of my investors, and it was a fantastic question, he said to me, he said, so how old's your daughter? I said, she's, you know, 10 years old. And he said, well, how do I know you're going to be passionate about this when she's 18 and you no longer have a child support issue? And he said, because I get pitched constantly by women who come in and pitch their parenting or their baby issue, you know, or their kindergarten solution. And then the kid gets up and goes into high school and they don't care about it anymore. I said, wow. And that clearly is something that's going on, that the solution is so focused in a time frame that there's maybe investors that are afraid that, you know, the person's not going to be passionate about it. Luckily for me, child support never ends, and I'm a child of a horrific divorce, so I come out as this as a kid of this problem. That is, I think, another area is that there's so much opportunity beyond fashion and beauty and food that we can solve, especially around financial services and money, money management, public policy, law, that is just not being addressed by anybody today. Or even technology and how our kids are using technology that clearly needs solutions, that I, you know, I hope more women will take that risk and kind of go out and solve these problems.
Absolutely. Yuri, just one thing to add on that, Kara, is that when you look at a founder and you're thinking, am I going to invest with this person? You're thinking, why is this person the right entrepreneur to tackle this problem? And so if you are thinking about a new beauty brand, it would be a little weird to invest behind a man who's never worn, you know, a lick of makeup and doesn't really understand the space and, you know, just thought of an idea one day. Like, that would seem disingenuous. And so that's why a lot of the beauty brands that are starting now are started by women. You know, Birchbox is started by two women. And so then when you think about the bigger opportunities in financial services and technology, like, we need those women who have worked in those companies, like Sherry has, to go and tackle those areas, because it's going to be a little bit hard to just kind of look at the market and say, oh, I'm just going to tackle this space and it's a tough problem, so I'm going to get in there. Like, you're going to want to have some relevant experience and contacts in the space. And so that's why, if for now consumer is the sort of most relevant space to tackle for female entrepreneurs, that's great. Let's start where we can start and own that space. And then as more people are flowing into technology-specific roles or more just technical roles, maybe not technology-specific, but whether it's healthcare or whether it's, you know, energy or any of that stuff, like, hopefully women will come to the top in those sectors as well. But it might take a little bit more time, as you do have to fill the pipeline of, you know, workers that are going to start in, you know, the junior ranks and then get more experience along the way as they build their careers.
Finally, I want to get the sense from both of you, but, you know, look forward for a minute, for, you know, to the people who, you know, maybe for a kid who's in high school right now, a girl who's in high school or even junior high, and thinking about that person being an entrepreneur, starting a tech company in Silicon Valley. Do you feel like things are changing, or are there things that have to happen to get the mindset to change enough that there's a hospitable climate for that girl coming up? Yuri, you want to start?
Sure. I think that things are changing, and it's not going to be easy. I would tell those young women to get as much experience as they can, go get internships, take those extra technology classes, math classes, programming classes, and just beef up everything you can do to get the mentorship and then just the pure skills that you need to compete in the market. It's definitely a very competitive space out there, and it's a you know, it's going to take a long time. But I absolutely think that things are changing, and that it's an exciting place to be young and to be, you know, standing on that precipice of getting out there and deciding what you want to do with your life. But go with something that you're passionate about, and make sure to just network your butt off wherever you can, however you can, so that you have the context you need along the way to help you.
And Sherry, what kind of mindsets need to change? What kind of attitudes or sort of entrenched things need to change?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we need to continue to talk about this issue and highlight it. I know that we say that it's been covered a lot in media, but I also know a ton of women founders and CEOs that are afraid to talk about what really happens out there for fear of being punished or being marked as, you know, the female entrepreneur that I don't want to invest in. So I think it's having the conversations, talking about it, and then showing the successes and how people can, you know, be successful in this area. And exactly as Yuri said, is getting experience early and networking and getting contacts. Because again, even in the male-dominated world of some of these technology companies, if you look at it, the way they were founders or the way they got there, they knew somebody. So connecting and knowing somebody. And my biggest feedback, I just had a few interns, you know, working at my company. I said, first thing you do is go back to school and sign up for an HTML, JavaScript, CSS, you know, web development class. I don't care if you're in marketing or communication, you're going to need it. Do it. Sign up for that now in college.
Sherry Atwood is the founder and CEO of Support Pay, a website that helps manage child support payments and other financial issues related to kids. And Yuri Kim is a principal at Forerunner Ventures, which invests in early stage companies. Yuri and Sherry, thank you so much for joining us. This is great.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.